Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 539. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Mitchell Fain.
And he is back, folks.
I'm back.
You were on last week. We couldn't get enough. We were expelling lots of air about the VMAs.
Yeah.
Then we had our poignant moment at the end. At least we got that in. Sometimes we just go, we have a plan, and then
I know it always goes
what happens.
Well, what is the expression? Life is what happens when you're busy making plans.
That's exactly right. That's usually, yeah.
That's usually how we roll.
A podcast. That's how we roll.
I know, it's funny. I wonder if people think that we plan. We plan.
No, but they probably think we're just literally like, why am I listening to this? This is the mad ramblings
of two crazy queers. Right, right. One middle-aged queer and one lovely Southern belle.
Oh, thank you. But, you know, it's nice of you to call me a middle-aged queer, but you Southern belle. Shiksa.
Oh,
what's a shiksa?
You're a shiksa, a not-Jewish girl.
Well, there you go.
And a not-Jewish boy is a shagetz.
But what's a goyim?
All the non-Jews.
And we also just throw in a little Yiddish lesson.
Every once in a while. I used Yiddish in the show because I was playing a Jewish guy.
Yeah.
I was playing the
mayor. You were playing a Jewish guy?
I was playing a Jewish guy. It never happens. I was playing the, I'm sure you saw this on the news, the mayor of San Diego was in big trouble, Bob Filner, and the whole scandal where he sexually harassed all these women. And,
yeah, now we have a gay mayor temporarily
right.
in San
well,
Diego.
Well, I was playing Filner. I was playing.
Oh, how funny.
Because we were in San Diego doing a comedy show about San Diego.
Uh-huh. The and second city.
The second city, called The Good, the Bad, and the I-5. For anyone who listens, knows what the I-5 is. It's just the highway.
Yeah. Not Highway 1.
No. And it was, and so the weekend before we went into rehearsal, the news went national. Mm-hmm. It was already happening, but the news got obscured by the royal birth and Wiener, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Wiener's Wiener. And, I do have to say Spitzer, Wiener, Filner, they are fucking it up for Jewish Democrats everywhere. Like, keep it in your pants, boys. The fuck? All these like nerdy boys who grew up
is
with Woody Allen.
Is it circumcision? What's happening?
I don't know what it is. It's that generation, that Woody Allen generation where they're just creepy. Sorry, but they're creepy. I mean, one of the things, if you love Woody Allen, you have to just sort of like look past his creepy, but like...
He makes a fucking brilliant movie.
He does.
Blue Jasmine, Run, Don't Walk, Kate Blanchett, Artie should just be mailed her Oscar now. So
we'll see what happens when Osage County comes out.
Good. I know, but I got to tell you, that performance is unlike anything I have seen in years.
My friend John Hartman from Second City called it a diva performance. Like, he's like, they'll start showing clips of it at comedy night at Sidetracks.
Oh, it's
so
just,
brilliant.
It is that good.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant. But so you're doing this show on San Diego.
The oh, yeah.
Premise
so it was
the
at
show.
The La Jolla Playhouse in San Diego.
Yep.
The premise is we're spoofing San Diego.
And you're playing the mayor because somebody needs to play the mayor.
Well, what happened was the weekend before we went into rehearsals, this story broke.
Right.
So we get into rehearsals and there was a whole different opening.
Yeah.
An opening number about the different neighborhoods in San Diego. It's very delineated by neighborhoods.
And cultures.
And cultures and stuff. And we thought, well, we have to deal with this Filner thing. And then through playing around and trying stuff, we decided to start the show basically doing a truncated version of his weird press conference non-apology apology. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, well, how do we then get into the opening song? I was like, well, what if we did a different opening song and it was literally like him starring in his own weird Sonny and Cher like variety show where it starts off sort of serious, you know, like Cher would always start doing a ballad version of whatever she, and then she would throw off her cape and then she'd be wearing almost nothing and then she'd do an upbeat version of the same song.
Right.
I was like, what if it's sort of like that? So it's like this press conference that I begin today by apologizing to the citizens of San Diego, my behavior, blah blah, and then it morphs into a kicky show busy, and so that's how the show started, with me doing a song and dance as Bob Filner.
And you killed it from the beginning.
I have to say I did. I think I did kill it. It was a challenge for me because, you know, I'm not a natural singer, but I'm a natural performer.
You are.
So I have to always find my way around the tune to make sure that it's in my range.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a natural singer, you know, but I love to sing. And when
I just know you're a great performer. So because it was just such a ripe moment that you walked into,
yes. So
and I know
fun.
You all, the lyrics were clever and the tune was clever and you're clever and the whole
composer
thing had to
was
be
fabulous.
Like a great
Julie.
Equation of fun.
Yes, and our director, Billy, was great. Our director was also the lead guitarist for JC and the Uptown Sound, by the way.
Oh.
His name's Billy.
Jason Brooks.
Jason Brooks. And so the lead guitarist is Billy Bungaroth, and he's a director at Second City. Okay. Anyway, so the show was great. And the show went great, and I have to say, La Jolla Playhouse is a famous... This is how I knew I was in the right place. This is a cool thing. Those people who know me or have heard me on the podcast know that I'm obsessed with old movies and that I watch Turner Classic Movies almost constantly. Like, it's the default channel in my house. And one of my best friends, her great-grandmother, was in a million old movies. Mm. Classics. Mm-hmm. Rebecca, the Hitchcock film, On the Town with Frank Sinatra. She's in movies with Ingrid Bergman. She's in movies with... I mean, she was in I Love Lucy episodes. She died in the 1950s, but she's a fascinating, fascinating woman. First female lawyer in Texas. And then she...
Why are we not doing a woman show that I play this part?
Right. Or Rachel play her great-grandmother, right? Right. She's a Southern lady. She's brilliant. I'll show you pictures. Anyway, so I walk into the administrative office at La Jolla Playhouse, which is, you know, any actor is honored to work there. And there's all these pictures on the wall of, like, the original actors who created La Jolla Playhouse and played there. In this one picture, it's James Whitmore, the old actor.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Wicks. You know Mary Wicks is? Mm-hmm. She's in a million things. She's been in movies since Betty Davis movies. And Florence Bates, Rachel's great-grandmother, right there on the wall. And I thought, I'm so in the right place.
Oh,
right now.
Wow.
It was really great. But San Diego...
Is this your first trip to San Diego?
Yeah, I'd never been before.
So before we break for the news, tell me what you thought of San Diego before you went, and then we're going to take a news break, and then we'll hear what the reality was once you got there. I mean, obviously you're working with some San Diego material to create the show.
Right, so we're doing some research.
Yeah.
I was told by several people that if I go to San Diego, I'll never come home.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And then I'll tell you what I thought when we get back.
Okay, great. We're going to break now for some GLBT news, what's going on locally, internationally, and in the world of entertainment. And then we'll come back and entertain you here with Mitchell talking to us about San Diego as a GLBT destination. Yes or no? And it's you know, we're so lucky to have you being the worldwide traveler that you are. Who would have thunk?
I know, right?
7 years ago that you'd be this worldwide
traveler.
Not
that, but like, who would have thunk when I was a little poor kid from Cranston, Rhode Island?
Yeah, but we benefit because you kind of bring all that back, all that knowledge and experience. It's like we, you know, I wish we paid you to go on these.
I know, that'd be nice.
But I would be going with you if we had a fund for that.
Now that would be genius.
But we'll be back. We're going to tell you what's going on in the world of news and also a little bit what's going on in the theater scene. Back with Mitchell Fain, all about San Diego on today's Queercast.
Four powerful works. Four performances only. The Joffrey Ballet presents Russian Masters. George Balanchine's Allegro Brillante is a fast-paced dazzler with music by Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky. Yuri Posokov's Riveting Bells and Adagio are set to music by Sergei Rachmaninoff and Aram Khachaturian's Spartacus. The Joffrey celebrates the 100th anniversary of Vaslav Nijinsky's revolutionary masterpiece, Rite of Spring, set to an electrifying score by Igor Stravinsky. The Joffrey Ballet presents Russian Masters at the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University, September 19th through the 22nd. Call 800-982-2787 or visit joffrey.org.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News.
Leading financial firms UBS and Moody's are the latest major companies to back the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, or ENDA, legislation that is expected to come to the Senate floor this fall that would ban workplace discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity. Currently, in a majority of states, there are no laws prohibiting an employer from firing or refusing to hire someone simply because he or she is gay or transgender.
A group called NALT, or N-A-L-T Christians, which stand for Not All Like That Christians, has launched a video campaign with the message that there is nothing anti-biblical or inherently sinful about being LGBT. Modeled after Dan Savage's It Gets Better project, the NALT project lets anyone upload a video to share why he or she is a Christian and supports gay rights.
The California legislature passed a bill that would help facilitate legal name changes for transgender people. Assembly Bill 1121 passed 56-18. If Governor Jerry Brown signs it, the measure will provide an easier and more inexpensive process for Californians seeking to change their name to correspond with their gender identity. The new system will also protect their privacy.
The New Mexico Supreme Court has set a date for a hearing to determine if the state's constitution permits same-sex couples to marry. The state's highest court agreed to hear oral arguments October 23rd from six same-sex couples, the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU of New Mexico, and the National Center for Lesbian Rights are representing. Recently, several county clerks have begun issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples in New Mexico. In August, a district judge in Santa Fe ruled that the state's constitution did not bar same-sex couples from marrying.
Hawaii Governor Neil Abercrombie has called for a special legislative session to move forward on a bill that would legalize same-sex marriage. If legislators pass the measure, Hawaii would join 13 U.S. states and the District of Columbia in allowing gay marriage.
The Indiana University Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, Transgender Alumni Association has launched the nation's first ever scholarship campaign devoted to assisting LGBT students in promoting leadership on LGBT concerns. Bolstered by an anonymous $500,000 challenge gift, the campaign kicked off with more than $200,000 in cash and pledges. The campaign aims to significantly increase support for both academic and emergency scholarships, which the GLBTAA has funded since 2005 through donations from alumni and friends.
Although lesbian Christine Quinn didn't win her mayoral race in New York City, the city added three out city council members. Corey Johnson, who is gay, defeated lesbian civil rights attorney Yetta Curlin in District 3. Carlos Menchaca unseated incumbent Sarah Gonzalez to become Brooklyn's first openly gay council member, as well as the city's first Mexican-American one in District 38. And lastly, the Bronx Richie Torres beat five other candidates in District 15.
In Arizona, organizers of an initiative campaign for a 2014 ballot measure to legalize same-sex marriage are dropping that effort in favor of waiting until 2016. The Equal Marriage Campaign says it has broad support, but the key national advocacy groups withheld backing that was needed to make a 2014 run. The advocacy groups have said 2014 didn't provide enough time to rally support for a state constitutional amendment, and that the larger voter turnout in 2016, a presidential election year, would help.
Hillary Clinton's support of gay rights has earned her a special honor from the Elton John AIDS Foundation, as the former Secretary of State will receive its first Founders Award. The foundation cited a 2011 speech in which Clinton asserted that gay rights were human rights for helping envision a world without AIDS.
In Minnesota, English/religion teacher Kristen Ostendorf was forced out after she revealed to fellow faculty that she's in a committed relationship with another woman. And she was let go from Fridley's Topino Grace High School the next day. Ostendorf is the second educator to be forced out of the Catholic school in recent months after revealing an LGBT identity. The school's president, Bill Hudson, resigned in July after an anonymous source outed him.
Lambda Legal filed a brief on behalf of Fair Wisconsin and five same-sex couples in the Supreme Court of Wisconsin, asking the court to uphold the state's domestic partnership law as constitutional. Oral arguments in the state's highest court will be October 23rd.
In world news, Jacques Rogge, the International Olympic Committee's, or IOC's, outgoing president, has admitted he is powerless to stop the anti-gay laws during the upcoming Winter Olympics in Sochi, Russia. While it is unknown whether Russia will charge any athlete or tourist for promoting gay rights at Sochi Olympics, the IOC banned political propaganda, which could lead to athletes being disqualified from the competition.
A member of Russian President Vladimir Putin's ruling party presented a draft law to take children away from gay and lesbian parents. The draft law, which follows legislation banning gay propaganda, would add homosexuality to its list of conditions, including drug and child abuse, that can lead to parents being stripped of custody over their children.
Out Russian journalist Helena Kostyunchenko, who writes for the Novaya Gazeta, promised on Twitter she will start outing closeted members of parliament who voted in favor of the country's gay propaganda law and those who vote for a proposed law that would remove children from their gay parents. Kostyunchenko said publishing the private information of Russian legislators is like a nuclear bomb that should be used only as a last resort. However, given the new anti-gay bill recently proposed, she said that such a time has come.
There may be a chance marriage equality will be discussed in Australia, despite Conservative candidate Tony Abbott's win for the prime minister's seat. Conservative Abbott has been a vocal critic of same-sex marriage, even though he has a lesbian sister. However, both parties that Abbott will most likely have to negotiate with will allow their senators a conscience vote on the issue, although it would still probably fail in the House of Representatives. Outgoing Prime Minister Kevin Rudd had promised that, if reelected, he would have introduced a vote on same-sex marriage within the first 100 days of his new term.
In entertainment news, Bobby Steggert, a star of the Broadway musical adaptation of the movie Big Fish, has come out of the closet. Steggert, 32, played a conflicted gay soldier in the off-Broadway World War II musical Yank and earned a Tony nomination for his performance in the 2009 revival of Ragtime. Big Fish opens on Broadway October 5th.
Lesbian actress Jane Lynch has received a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. The actress's star unveiling was accompanied by Glee creator Ryan Murphy.
HBO's Behind the Candelabra will be front and center during the Primetime Emmy September 22nd. Elton John will make his first appearance at the award show, performing to pay tribute to Liberace, the subject of Steven Soderbergh's biopic that has earned 15 nominations.
Lesbian Tony winner Cherry Jones and out gay actor Zachary Quinto star in Tennessee Williams's The Glass Menagerie on Broadway. Previews began on September 5th at the Booth Theater. The Glass Menagerie will officially open September 26th in a limited run through January 5th. This is the seventh staging of Glass Menagerie to be produced on Broadway.
Actress Michelle Williams will play Sally Bowles in Cabaret in her Broadway debut next year in a revival of the legendary musical opposite Alan Cumming as MC. He earned a Tony for the same role in a 1998 revival. Cabaret's limited engagement kicks off March 21st at the Kit Kat Club at Studio 54.
Grammy winner Bruno Mars will sing at halftime at this year's Super Bowl. The Super Bowl will be February 2nd, 2014 at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey.
Randy Jones, the original cowboy for the music group The Village People, will marry partner Will Grega. The marriage ceremony will take place September 13th on Jones' birthday.
And Anderson Cooper celebrated at the opening of his boyfriend's new gay bar with Andy Cohen, Whoopi Goldberg, Alan Cumming, Ellen Barkin, and Kelly Ripa. The new bar is the Atlas Social Club in the Chelsea neighborhood of Manhattan.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hi, this is Jill Sobiel, and you're listening to me on the Windy City Queercast. I'm proud to be on Queercast. You ain't nothing
but a hound dog. Million Dollar Quartet, Chicago's hit rock and roll musical, is now extended through January. Relive the legendary night Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, and Elvis Presley played together for the first and only time. Don't miss the show the Chicago Tribune calls a hit. The Chicago Sun-Times calls the show musically dazzling from first beat to last. Million Dollar Quartet, now playing at the Apollo Theater. Visit Ticketmaster.com.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of September 16th, 2013, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Signs of Life, a new musical drama about the human spirit, runs now through October 27th at the Zychek McVeigh Theater at the Biograph. Signs of Life is based on the true story of one of the most fascinating and least known stories of the Holocaust. It shows the struggles of the captives as they try to expose the truth through art and music, and in doing so, discover the humanity they all share. Signs of Life through October 27th. For ticket information, visit victorygardens.org.
WBEZ 91.5 welcomes Janine Garofalo, actress, activist, comedian, to Main Stage for four shows only, October 18th and 19th. The star of Reality Bites and The Truth About Cat and Dogs and the host of Air America appears at Main Stage in a rare Chicago run. For tickets to Janine Garofalo, visit mainstage.com. That's MAYNE stage.com.
Lifeline Theater proudly presents The Killer Angels, based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of The Battle of Gettysburg. The Killer Angels is running Thursdays through Sundays now through October 27th. For more, visit lifelinetheater.com.
Nominated for 13 Tony Awards, In the Heights is making its Chicago debut, directed by Rachel Rockwell at the lovely Paramount Theater in Aurora. In the Heights is playing now through October 6th. For tickets, visit ParamountAurora.com. That's ParamountAurora.com. Don't miss In the Heights, the show critics are calling a must-see this fall.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hello, Deb Pierce here, letting you know that we'd love to hear back from you. So go ahead. You know you want to. Post a comment.
I saw you messing around. We were down and times were rough. But it was the light that you found on the other side enough. What did I do so wrong? You lied and led me on. Was I your hit and run? Left for dead and now you're gone. Oh, we were coming around. You threw me back down. You had my trust in your hands. You gave it up again.
So, Mitchell, you said friends told you that if you went to San Diego, you'd never want to come home. So, after being there for a month, were they right?
I never wanted to come home.
You never wanted to come
no,
home?
No, don't get me wrong. I was homesick. San Diego is GD paradise.
It is.
It's so beautiful.
I remember it being so flippin' hot.
It was
it's like
not hot.
Right there next to Tijuana. Did you go to Tijuana?
We did not go to Tijuana.
Oh, come on.
Well, there's a funny story about that, but let me just say. Every day
it was different when I went 20 years ago. It was kind of like, you know, a thing you did on a fun night. And
we only had one night off a week, right? Because we did an 8-show-a-week schedule, right? Two on Saturday, two on Sunday.
Yeah.
So Monday was our only day off to, like, shop, do laundry, get something to eat as a cast, you know. So we did lots of excursions, but we didn't go to Tijuana. Let me just say that the weather was somewhere between... It fluctuated wildly, somewhere between 76 degrees and 78 degrees every day.
Yep.
And was sunny and beautiful and then lovely and cool at night. There were 3 days last week that it got very hot.
Yeah.
And for some people, for me, it was like, this is delightful weather.
I'm wondering if this is a fluke, what's happening, though, in this weather. Like, there's just new normal
weather.
Like, it didn't used to be that
cool. No, that's the joke in San Diego, is that's the weather.
It is.
It's always 76 to 78 degrees.
Oh, I remember it being hot, but I could be wrong.
It was beautiful, and we were staying in La Jolla, which is a super ritzy part of San Diego.
Mm-hmm. Is it diverse?
It's interesting. You know, one of the other actors in the show is a gay guy, so we went out and explored the sort of gay scene, you know.
But is it racially diverse?
It is, more than you'd think, because there's the huge UCSD campus.
Yeah. I had friends who went there to study theater and musical theater, so
it's a huge, it's a very well-respected
school. When I
worked
out at Utah Musical Theater, you know, when I was in college, their designers and all of their talent that came to do summer stock were, I mean, the majority of them were for UCSD. So I knew people in the graduate program there and people who ran the department
because remember,
there.
Because it's attached to, you're basically studying at La Jolla Playhouse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the same thing a
absolutely.
Little bit. La Jolla is not diverse.
Yes.
San Diego
is diverse.
And what's interesting is there's a lot of Asian people.
Yeah, that's
there's
the
a lot
Coast.
Of Middle Eastern people.
Mm. Interesting.
We didn't see a lot of African American people. This other actor, a friend of mine who was in the show, is African American.
Obviously, lots of Latin.
Lots and lots and lots of gorgeous Latin boys. So it was surprisingly diverse within its lack of diversity in a mm-hmm. weird way, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, just I met so many interesting, cool Middle Eastern people and Hispanic people. And La Jolla itself is so beautiful. Like, downtown La Jolla is so... We weren't really downtown. We were close to the campus, but downtown La Jolla is like 7 minutes away. Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful. It's right on the water. The restaurants are amazing. It's just like grown-up paradise. Hillcrest is the gay neighborhood, for anyone okay. who knows. And it's like Andersonville. It is. It's fabulous. There's restaurants and bars and clubs and bookstores and a cinema. And in fact, we don't even have a cinema in Andersonville. But like,
yeah.
And,
it's to come, I'm sure.
Amazing restaurants and... It's like Andersonville. It's not just a place for gay people, although it's primarily known as a gay neighborhood, mm-hmm. and there's rainbow flags everywhere. It's a place that other people go to and hang out. Straight mm-hmm. people, straight couples go out to dinner, go out to bars. So it's that the diversity in that way, which mm-hmm. I really love.
Mm-hmm.
So many things. I mean, we went to the San Diego Zoo, which I mentioned last show, and that we got a special VIP tour from the zookeepers.
Yeah, I went to the San Diego Zoo. It was one of the first best zoos that I ever went to.
God,
you know, I mean,
it's amazing.
I mean,
and then
it
to
kind
meet
of
these
did
animals
put the,
intimately.
It kind of put the mark on
zoos.
You know,
it's high.
20, 30 years ago.
It's high end.
It's really well
and
done.
And there's so much information. One of the interesting things about the San Diego Zoo I found is that the entire zoo is also a huge farm. So they feed their animals.
Oh, what they grow.
What they grow.
I think I knew that.
And so it's self-sustaining.
Because they have so much acreage.
It's
and
amazing.
That was the whole thing was that when I went there, you know, in the very early 90s, I remember what was so revolutionary about it was that they had actually created habitats that were very open
mm-hmm.
and they were really proud of like their no cage kind of policy.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, like that they grow and they study and they, you know, that there's...
I mean, there are zookeepers who are specific. Like we went to see this baby okapi.
What the hell is that?
An okapi is this beautiful animal and people think that it's akin to a zebra because it has striped legs, but it's I think it's more akin to like an antelope.
Mm-hmm.
And its body is really beautiful, like the coloring of it, and the legs are striped, and they're just really beautiful. OKAPI, crossword people know this word. Mm-hmm. OKAPI, look them up, they're really beautiful. And this mama okapi had just had a baby okapi, so we got to meet the baby.
Oh, how cute.
I mean, honestly, it was like, and then we met Nikki the giraffe. We hung out with her, and we did a song. There was a rap in the show about the San Diego Zoo, like
uh-huh.
this family at the zoo,
uh-huh.
mother, father, and a daughter. And then the other three of us played
zoo animals.
We were zoo animals,
zoo animals.
Right? Who then turned into like dancing video girls,
uh-huh.
you know, like just doing ridiculous
uh-huh.
Miley-like behavior.
Uh-huh.
But we meant it as a joke. And that became my favorite part of the show.
Oh, how
like
funny.
No lines. We sang a chorus.
Yeah.
What you gonna do? We're going to the zoo. That was basically our chorus.
Mm-hmm.
But we danced to the whole thing, like three like background, you know, hip hop background dancers. Me, this brilliant guy who's sort of a big guy, like a heavy set guy,
mm-hmm.
and then Travis was this gorgeous, brilliant dancer singer, boy.
Do you feel like the sketches about the mayor killed the most? I mean, like, really, like, the audience loved that the most? Or what did anything surprise you that the San Diego audience is?
Comic-Con. So Comic-Con is, you know, everyone knows. I'm sure maybe you talked about it with Jason.
With Jason Steele on our comic book Queers show. We didn't talk a ton about Comic-Con, though, but, I mean, obviously
one of the big
I
ones
have,
is in San Diego.
Of course, yeah.
And so it invades San Diego once a year, right? And so the minute the lights come up and there's five actors on stage dressed sort of badly and ridiculously as
like
superheroes,
like or
sci-fi, whatever. There was sometimes the Hulk, somebody's Batman, somebody's Thor, and then two characters from Star Trek: Next Generation.
Yeah.
And the minute the lights came up, people started to laugh.
Yeah.
And then they're all sitting at like a bar getting craft beers at some, which is a big deal in San Diego, like at a break from the convention. And then I play the waiter who tries to wait on them, but they're all such unbelievable, delightfully lovable, but unbelievable nerds that I sort of get wildly annoyed and have a freak out about them, and it's a funny sketch. That surprised me because it really killed. The stuff with the mayor was great. What I loved was that our director was brave enough to start the show calling that shit out and to start potentially alienating the audience by portraying someone so universally disliked at that time by the city of San Diego. But it turns out they were ready to laugh at him. And so by having me play him with a kind of musical comedy charm after the initial...
Right.
Like, initially, it starts like a recreation of the press conference. And then it morphs into, like, for example, I said, I only ask that you give me the opportunity to prove that I'm capable of change and to apologize to you, not only as a city, but personally. And the lights would come up and I'd unbutton my jacket.
Yeah.
Individually, and I'd walk closer to the audience, the lights would get a little brighter, and I'd start to swagger like my dad with my tongue hanging out, intimately getting worse, looking like leering at all the ladies in the front row, for I am nothing if not a fan of the human touch. And then by this point I'm just a tongue out leering and we had two of the girls in the cast were audience plants, and I would go up and talk to them, and then it morphed into a musical number. And so I thought it was brave of Billy to let us start that, like, called out. And then it ended, another brave thing on his part, because it was evolving as we were there. We had to figure out how to be one step ahead of the story in case he did in fact resign, which he eventually did while we were there.
And so, became a gay mayor. Did you play that part?
No, but I did mention him. Once that happened, I started to put him in another sketch, because we did this great, our first act ended with an improvised musical song about gay marriage, in which we actually had a gay marriage with an audience member who didn't know they were even going to be picked.
I was going to ask if you did anything queer.
Actually, Billy, the director, said this is the gayest show we've ever done. We did this funny sketch that was a silent sketch where it starts off and it's like these army guys, four of us, and we're in camo and we have guns, and, you know, it's like, it sounds like the soundtrack of Zero Dark Thirty's playing, right? This guy comes out and he reaches into a duffel bag, he thinks he's going to pull out like an AK-47, he pulls out a volleyball, and then we all come out. So we're all out, like, as if we're on patrol. The volleyball comes out. The lights come up. We rip off our camera. We're all wearing super, like, 2013 stripey gay tank tops. Right? You know, like, all the boys wear tank tops. The music is playing with the boys from the volleyball scene from Top Gun. And then we play a quick onstage game of volleyball, which I spike the ball. I win. And then I turn to this guy, Frank, who's this brilliant sort of heavyset, unbelievably agile. He's truly funny. For people who have watched Mad TV know Frank, because he was on Mad TV for like four or five years, Frank Caietti. Brilliant. So then Frank and I point to each other, you know, and the music changes to Take My Breath Away from...
Oh my God.
And then we basically... We got so out of control, like in a makeout session, that another actor in the show said it started to look like a bear attack. So that was queer. In the opening... I sexually harass a guy as well as a girl, so like we decided that Filner was across the boards creepy. Right, so boom, we hit it with some gay. There's another sketch which I play a gay son of this family that's a improvised, goes back in time. We do a scene, then we go back into a different, we get a year, and we do the same scene with references to that year, and then do it again, references to earlier in the century. And then the first act ends with a scene between a mother, father, and a son. I'm the son, despite the fact that I'm 25 years older than both of them. And they're like, we can't meet your boyfriend. I've grilled some chicken. Oh, he's going to be here any minute. Ding dong, he's here. Oh boy, I wish you could make a And we talked about Prop 8 and how it's done, and mm-hmm. some people are prejudiced, and boy, if only you could make a straight man understand what it would be like to be a gay man. Ding dong, he's here. And then I would literally go out and then choose an unsuspecting audience member, a guy, mm-hmm. you know, always making sure that he was sitting next to a woman, so at least I, mm-hmm. odds are he's straight of a certain age. And then I would whisper, don't worry, you just answer the questions, we'll take care of you. And then we would get some information, his name, his job. We'd make him tell, like, make up where we met, and a mm-hmm. nickname for me, mm-hmm. and the name of his best friend, and describe his best friend, and some words of wisdom that he lives by. And then all of us were assigned different things that we then had to bring that information in a rhymed couplet mm-hmm. into the show. Mm-hmm. So then it becomes this musical number mm-hmm. in which I marry this dude, mm-hmm. and it's officiated by Prince. Literally, Travis came out as Prince, which is brilliant. He was the preacher. And so it ends with, come together, hyphenate your names,
yeah.
times change, but love stays the same. And then we all sing that. Bless you. And then Mamie sneezing in the sneezing. Cutest, quietest way. And so that's how the first act ends, with me with a gay wedding.
So tell me, you know, because you obviously have gone on this mostly Second City on a boat, and you float around, and sometimes you can sneak in some gay stuff, but
yeah.
how was it to be living and performing in a place that had just gone through, you know, getting gay marriage? I mean, and walking around Hillcrest, did it feel palpable? I mean, could you tell that this thing had just happened
in
California?
It didn't feel palpable there. It just feels like a very accepting place. It feels like Prop, you know, that the whole narrative that Prop 8 was passed by a bunch of outsiders.
Right.
In a lot of ways, right?
Right.
Felt very true being there, because I never experienced anything less than super big gay positivity everywhere mm-hmm. in San Diego. Mm-hmm. I mean, didn't hang out too much downtown, mm-hmm. only a little bit, like around the airport, like a downtown area. I went to more like the neighborhoods, mm-hmm. you know, University Heights and Hillcrest and North Park and different cool neighborhoods.
And you said that Hillcrest, being gay, but also had lots of straight people.
Yeah,
in
lots
as well.
Of diversity. So when I noticed the feeling about Prop 8 was in this scene before the song, the woman playing the mother, Marla, would say, I can't wait to meet your boyfriend. I think he's the one. And now that Prop 8, and we added this, you know, now that Prop 8's been defeated, everyone in California has the right to get married despite some people's stupid prejudices. Mm-hmm. And then people would applaud. And it was like,
that's interesting.
Interesting. And then the next line was the dad's line. He's like, yes, I agree. I hate it that some people give gay people a hard time about getting married. I think everybody in this country should have the right to cry themselves to sleep exactly like I do. That's a really funny line.
Right.
So, you know, we started being funny yeah. about it. We weren't taking ourselves too seriously. But it was interesting how supportive people were.
Yeah.
There was only one time, sort of interesting. So, you know, these audience volunteers are an X factor. You don't know.
Yeah. You have no clue what's going to happen.
And also, let me tell you a little part of it is that I'm nearsighted, so I can only see the first three rows. So I can, and I have very little time in the first act to clock someone. Mm. So I'm generally going in literally blind, just like saying, oh, he's here, and then walking out to the audience and picking someone and very quickly assessing, okay, they've got to be tall enough so that their face hits the light in the audience, so that there's mm-hmm. some light on them so I can see them. Mm-hmm. Got to be sitting next to a woman so it looks like they're a straight couple, because it's funnier if it's a straight dude, you know? Although one time I did pick a gay dude, and that was really awesome too. But I'll tell the negative story. There was only one, and then I'll tell this really awesome flip side of it. One guy, we do this whole thing, we make it political, we make it clear where our politics are on this issue. Mm-hmm. And I say to him, as I'm walking him down so the audience can't hear me, I said, just don't worry about anything, we're going to take care of you, that's our job. Second City celebrates you. You just answer the questions, totally be yourself, and we're going to make you look like a rock star. It's going to be really fun. In other words, don't worry, don't have to act, you don't have to be yeah. funny, whatever. Sit down. The mother says, what's your name? Where's so-and-so? What's your name? And he goes, Esteban. Like, he's making up a queer name and a queer voice. Mm. Like, a stereotypical queer voice. He's like, that guy. Mm. He thinks that's funny. Mm-hmm. So there's a moment, you know, it's a nanosecond, because we're on stage, where Marla, Kevin and I, the three actors, are like, okay, this guy's going to be a problem. And then Frank says, Kevin says, you look like a working man. What do you do for a living? He's like, I'm a nurse. Right, with a syllable and S. sibilant S, and I was like, mm-mm. So very quietly, while Marla and Kevin have a little dialogue with each other, I put my knuckle deep into his arm, like painfully into his arm, and I said, cut it the fuck out. Just be yourself, or I will humiliate you in front of this entire audience. I asked you to be yourself. And then he got blanched white. It was perfectly fine, but not interesting after that. But like, don't come up here and try to be funny and queen out like you think that's funny. It's offensive, and I will destroy you publicly if you don't stop doing that right now. That only happened once. Mm-hmm. One time. Mm-hmm. Here's the flip side of that story. 3 days in a row, randomly, because A, I have good taste, and B, there's a lot of military in San Diego. It's a huge presence in San Diego. Mm-hmm. Huge.
Yeah,
huge,
yeah,
huge.
Sure.
And I literally picked three days in a row, the hunkiest, most gorgeous Navy, Marine, Army guys. Mm-hmm. Mostly Navy, but also one Marine. I mean, gorgeous, 6'4", bodies like concrete. Mm-hmm. Gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And all three of them, amazing. Mm. Funny and mm-hmm. warm and totally themselves and not trying to act, and would play along, put their hand on my knee or put their arm around me or kiss me on the top of my head or like mm-hmm. just got it, hugged me, picked me up, you know, would hold my hand during the wedding ceremony. Like,
Mitchell's like, I'm getting paid for this shit.
I'm getting paid for this shit. But also it tells you, somebody like that, a guy like that, mm-hmm. who's in the most macho world.
Mm-hmm. Confident.
Confident. Knows who the fuck he is and doesn't have to worry about whether or not an audience thinks he might be gay because he got pulled out of the audience to do this bit that's clearly not real.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting juxtaposition of these military guys, mm-hmm. young military guys too. They were probably mm-hmm. like late 20s.
It shows you, too, the times are changing and that it was time for Don't Ask, Don't Tell, too, though, because honestly, I've heard, you know, we hear time and time and time again, you know, even talking to GLBT veterans, you know, definitely the past decade or whatever, you know, or decade and a half, who say, you know, they knew, they didn't care. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
That, you know, we were there to do a job. We were there. We were, you know, a core,
person,
a group.
A person who's risen to a certain point in that kind of world.
Yeah.
Has a level of excellence. And as long as you're being excellent,
yeah,
I think. All I know is that my experience of the men that we chose and then some of the people that I met just on my, you know, going to restaurants or whatever, but the men that we met, or the audience members that we met, like at the bar, at the theater afterwards, mm-hmm. The military guys, not an issue. Loved it. Mm-hmm. Loved it. What I haven't talked about, and we'll have to, I think we're sort of winding down.
We got a few more minutes.
Is there's a famous beach in San Diego, which is a famous nude beach, and it's not legal, but they don't care.
Yeah.
And you have to literally climb down a cliff.
Oh dear God.
To get to it, and then the climb back up is.
You don't climb down nude, do you?
No.
That would be scary for some bits and pieces.
And so I went many, many times because I love nude beaches.
Uh huh. Because you like to be naked.
I like to be naked, and I just like to swim naked. I mean, I'm like,
why not?
I'm an ocean kid. You know what I mean? It's the most, I mean, anybody who's ever been or has heard of it, I mean, I think a lot of gay people have heard of it, but it's like one of those, it's so unspoiled. There's nothing on the beach. Mm-hmm. There's no lemonade stands. There's nothing commercial.
It's just a sand beach.
It's a sand beach with amazing waves. It's
how did
on
you
these
find
cliffs.
It?
It's famous.
Oh.
It's famous. I mean, it's like, you know, if
did
you're
you
gay,
go with some of your cast? Or
I went once with Travis. He did not get naked. And then everybody else was sort of too wimpy to go. And I was like, it's just a nude beach, guys. It's no big deal. And so I went by myself 3 or 4 days a week.
Yeah.
I'd go for like an hour or two. Plus, it was a great workout going mm-hmm. up and coming down. Mm-hmm. So you get like, you know, 40 minutes of cardio mm-hmm. every day, which is also mm-hmm. great. I've been to many beaches. First of all, I grew up in
what's it called, Dita?
Blacks Beach.
Blacks Beach?
At the glider port at Torrey Pines. Mm-hmm. The way to get to it is you go to Torrey Pines glider port, and then you walk down the cliff where there's steps. There's harder climbs that I didn't do because I probably would have done it if I was just on vacation. Mm-hmm. But the idea of hurting myself
and having to
do a show would be bad. So there's sort of they're not easy steps. They're
right.
Basically just like boards cut. You know, somebody slammed into the
yeah.
cliff, so it's still treacherous, and you have to be pretty athletic to do it.
Yeah.
So it is prohibitive to some people.
Yeah.
But then you go to the glider port, you go down those steps, and then you're literally, and then you walk towards, if you're facing the ocean, you walk towards your right, and then that ends up being the sort of gayer section.
So how many people would be on
the Well, it depends. On really gorgeous days on the weekend, lots. Maybe I saw, probably at the most though, maybe I saw 150 people on the beach. Mm-hmm. That's not a lot of people. Mm-mm. On a weekday.
And they'd all climb that rock to mm-hmm. get there? Wow.
Or even sometimes even more treacherous rocks. But most people do these rocks.
Did anybody approach it by water and pull up a boat? Or
No. It's
because I've been to like a nude beach in St. John in the Caribbean, and you either access it by some sort of tiny little boat, and right. it's tiny little beach. Like if it you had 30 hard. People on it, it would be a lot.
If the waves are pretty intense, it would be hard to get your little boat
yeah.
around that. But these cliffs.
Gorgeous.
Well, suddenly you're on the beach, and then these cliffs, it's... I mean, like I said, I grew up
on the
beach.
It's not like you're lugging your big cooler and your big stuff down there. No, you're not doing
that. Nope. You got a blanket and maybe a bottle of water and maybe smoke a joint.
Yeah.
Not that I'm not saying that I did. I'm just saying that the laws
would be a lovely place to do it.
Yes, the laws around marijuana are so unclear because it's going to be legal at some point. I mean, it's already medical marijuana is already legal and it's very easy to get a card, right? We did a sketch about that too. So they're very lenient about it because they're like, what am I going to arrest you for pot? It's going to be legal in 2 years anyway.
Yeah.
That's true here sort of. But my point is it's gorgeous. And if you're a gay person and you're a person who likes nude beaches or beaches, even if you don't want to get nude, you don't have to get nude.
Okay. So that's one thing. You've named two things. La Jolla is a great place to go.
La Jolla, a great arts thing, playhouse.
The beach, Black's Beach, great thing to do. You got a restaurant or two?
Oh, God. We went to so many great restaurants. Oh, God, if I could... I went to a place called Sea Level that was sort of near the airport on Harbor Island. Is amazing, an amazing view of the city. We went to this stone brewery place where they brew their own beers, and there's this outdoor deck, and that's an amazing place to eat. There's a place, oh my God, there's a place in Hillcrest called Chocolat that has the best gelato you will ever put in your mouth hole.
It sounds like it's a great long weekend, even.
It's an amazing long weekend. That's
like
exactly what it is.
You could get away in the wintertime and just go there.
Yes.
It's a good plug by Mitchell Fain.
Everywhere, there's a place in La Jolla called Puesto. If you go to La Jolla, you have to go get tacos at Puesto. Puesto. I mean...
Mitchell knows his tacos for a gay man, which is really, really nice.
And these are fish tacos, too, girl.
Okay, girl.
You can get salmon tacos. I mean, they have all these different kind of tacos, and you can get three different kinds, and they're unbelievable.
Yeah.
God, where else do we go? There's this cupcake place called Sprinkles that you just want to, like...
I think that's a chain.
You just want to take a nap in these.
Yeah. They have those in California.
Yeah, they're in California. Amazing.
You want to
take a nap.
A nap in this cupcake. It sounds like it's
the Sheridan, which is right in La Jolla,
has
a restaurant called Humphreys that I went to because it was nearby, and that's where Michelle and Maureen were staying because they came to see the show.
Aww, our old friends.
Yes, and so they said, "Well, there's a restaurant that seems kind of good." Amazing.
Yeah. Now, gay bar.
So many gay bars.
Give me a couple.
Bourbon Street is the super fun place. Part of it's outside, so that's really fun. There's a place called Flicks that's awesome. We went on a Wednesday night. It was college night. And you know I like them young. Mm-hmm. And so that was super fun.
You're on the UCSD campus. What more do you want?
Hello.
I mean, come on. You did pay them, right, to go out there.
Exactly. You think I should.
Yeah.
I know all of this, and I got paid.
Yeah.
And I got to work at La Jolla Playhouse.
Yeah.
With really cool people.
It's crazy.
So it was amazing. So, yeah, bars, restaurants. I mean, if you... Google gay San Diego. There is not a lack of stuff to do.
Well,
beaches and zoos and SeaWorld and coastline and paragliding and dancing and food and.
I'm due for another trip to San Diego. I liked it, and I went to a smaller theater there that a woman that I knew was doing a show, and I don't mean smaller; it just wasn't La Jolla. It was an equity house, you know.
You should go and stay at the Sheridan in La Jolla because it's literally 7 minutes from the beach.
Okay. Well, the Sheridan in La Jolla
and then to
give
get to Hillcrest
us
is
a
like
sponsorship,
in the
and
car.
Then we'll talk about it, and I'll go out there.
Exactly.
And I'll take care of it. Mitchell, it's so good to have you back.
I'm glad to be home.
I know you're going to have another adventure here soon, so I don't know what that will be, but we'll talk about
it. Yeah, Midnight Circus.
Yeah.
It's all coming up.
Halloween is around the corner, but we're still in September, so let's stay here.
All right, for a second.
If we stay in, we don't get to the backside of September, we're both younger. Because we're both about to get older.
Ew.
Ah! It's better than the alternative, as our friend Billing says. Nice. Alexander always says it's better than the alternative.
She came to see the show. She and Chris Ann came to see the show. Which is great. My family came.
Your family.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. Well, it is good to have you back.
Thank you. I'm glad
to
be back.
Thank you for sharing it. And thank you for...
It's paradise, but I'm glad to be home.
Paradise that he didn't want to leave if he didn't have me and Nilla to come back to, and the queer cast and all of the listeners. Everybody, I hope you're having a great week. I encourage you to come down and see To Master the Art, the fabulous play about the life of Julia Child, about her early days in France, learning to cook, being an American woman from California who knew nothing about French food, the French language, cooking in general in any way, shape, and form, and revolutionized French cooking for us as a country in America, giving us access to that and a love of sharing her love of the country that she fell in love with. It's a really amazing play. I'm playing at the Broadway Playhouse on Michigan Avenue. You can get tickets at broadwayinchicago.com. You will not see me on stage, hopefully. I am understudying, but I am trying to be good insurance for them. Plus, it is a delight to watch that show and see that show. And I've seen it many, many times. It moves me. It makes me laugh hysterically. Plus, you smell shallots and butter and things cooking on stage. It's just genius. So it is the anniversary of Julia Child's Mastering the Art of French Cooking cookbook. That was the top-selling book besides The Joy of Cooking ever to be published. And hope you'll come down to the Broadway Playhouse and check us out. Have a great week, everyone.
Bye.
And Mitchell will be with us again soon.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.